When I think of this guy, I think of a high-powered fastball. I think of a nasty slider. I think about him dominating coming out of the bullpen, sensation coming up in 2007. Now he's killing it. He's talking about guys left and right. So I said he's a former teammate of Cano. Let's have him on. The former Yankee, Jabba Chamberlain. Jabba, what's up, man? How you doing?
Just another day in good old Nebraska, just enjoying the snow and the cold.
Well, there you go, Jabba. And curiously, now that you're back in the Midwest, you're not here in the Big Apple, how much you miss New York?
I miss it a lot. I mean, I'm fortunate enough. I've got my bar and restaurant there, American Whiskey. So, you know, I got a reason to get back and all my buddies that are there. So, you know, you miss the atmosphere. You miss the energy. You know, Nebraska is always home, but definitely New York is second home, and it always has a place in my heart.
All right, Jabba, let's get to your former teammate. You won a World Series with this guy back in 2009, Robbie Cano. Goes to the Seattle Mariners. Does well in Seattle, not hitting for the same amount of power. Now the Mets bring him in, 36-year-old second baseman. How much gas do you think Robbie Cano has left in the tank?
A lot. I mean, he brings so much to the field, not only in experience-wise. I mean, you look at both sides of the baseball, defensively and at bat. I mean, he has a purpose every time he goes to the plate and understands how to play a second base. I mean, it's amazing to watch him go in the hole and basically throw it underhand, and the ball never moves. It stays straight. I still don't know how he does it, and I've watched it a million times. And I think just coming into that clubhouse and obviously knowing what to expect and knowing what New York demands and what it expects. Obviously, they've seen him for numerous years and seen what he can do. And, I mean, if you go back and look at his numbers, excluding the Mets, in almost 80 games, he's hitting like 350. And so, you know, he knows how to play. He knows that division, and he plays it really, really well. So, thinking that addition, you know, both sides of the ball and in that clubhouse and knowing what to expect and knowing in the press conference and everything, he wasn't caught off guard. He knew what to expect. There was going to be a question, and, you know, obviously his history and the suspension and all that other stuff, but you handle it with a grain of salt. He goes about his business, and, you know, he goes out and plays, and nobody's going to think twice of it. And I think they're going to surprise some teams. I mean, obviously you look at what they took off the books. It's really a trade. I mean, obviously for the next 4 years, they're going to get the $20 million, but you took it Swarzak and Jay Bruce. They were both at about $21 million, and you got Robbie at what he's at and Diaz in the control that you have and what he's going to be able to do and how he's going to get better. I think it's a great move.
Jabba, you thrive coming out of the bullpen in New York. As you know, it's a much different animal than playing in another place. You got Edwin Diaz coming over. He was awesome last year for the Mariners. He's lights out. He's saving games left and right. But if you could offer Edwin Diaz a piece of advice when it comes to coming out of the bullpen, pitching well here in this town, what would you tell him?
I mean, take it with a grain of salt. And I mean that in the most gracious way, because they expect a lot. And the thing about it is, a lot of people don't understand is we expect more of ourselves. And to understand what he did last year, it was incredible to watch him throw the baseball. And now, you know, times that by about 1 million. I mean, obviously what he did in Seattle, it was magnified just because of what he had done. But now put that dynamic in New York and see what happens. There's going to be so many things that he's going to get pushed and pulled in so many directions. You got to take it with a grain of salt. You've got to learn to say no. That is another thing that is probably the biggest thing that I could tell him is there's going to be people wanting to pull you this direction, that direction. And it's going to have to be a no situation. You're not going to be able to do everything. You're going to want to do everything. Trust me. I, you know, I've been there. I've done that. And it's going to be the decision of like, okay, hey, I know I can do this, but hey, let's relax. I just want to take this day off and just hang out with my family and friends and go get a good dinner and just relax. And, you know, just everything is what it is. You understand that it's a business, and, you know, being on the media side, there's some questions that they don't want to ask, but they're trying to put food on the table just like you are when you're trying to get guys out. So understand their job. You don't have to like it all the time, but you've got to respect it and understand it. And just, you know, you got to go with the flow, but you've also got to understand that it's a different bird, and you've got to learn to say no.
Jabba, the Yankees brought back 2-year-old teammates. They bring back Brett Gardner for another year. And then all-reliable CC Sabathia, who's still kicking, baby. He's pitching another year. It is poetic, bro, that he's going to finish up in a Yankee uniform. But, Jabba, for a team that's got a lot of young players on it, for a team that hasn't won, and you were a young player on a team in 2009 when CC Sabathia came over, Gardner was a young player like you when you guys won in 2009. How important is it, you think, for this Yankee group to have both of those guys coming back for another year?
I don't even think you can put a figure or any amount of what it is that those two guys mean to that team. I mean, CeCe's one of my best friends and just a guy that I've leaned on for a lot of things in my career. And, you know, it's just been fun to watch him kind of get rejuvenated and have that love and all the other stuff. And just watching Guardy be Guardy. I mean, he has that grit. He's got that chip on his shoulder. And just to watch the way he plays the game, I loved watching him come up. I loved being a teammate. And he's a guy that you want on your team. He's a guy that will run through a wall for you and give you everything he's got every day. And I think those two guys just, you know, just solidify of what this team wants to do. And I think in Booney's aspect, too, is understanding how important those two guys are to the success of this team. And just to know you have two quality human beings. You have great baseball players, but you got great men. And just understanding how important that is in a clubhouse with so many young kids that are trying to make a difference in an atmosphere that is not easy. And to have two guys that have done it at the highest level and been very, very successful, I just think there's so many things that those guys bring that it was the smartest thing that they could do to bring those two guys back and to see the things that they can do at this point of their career. And they're still helping. They're still quality. They're still guys that you rely on for more things than one. And I love watching those two go to work.
Former Yankee Jabba Chamberlain, he's killing it now for MLB Network Radio, talking some Yankees, talking some Mets right here on The Fan. So, Jabba, the Yankees missed out on Patrick Corbin. I thought he was going to be a Yankees Syracuse guy. I figured he'd want to return home to the New York area. But, hey, 6 years, $140 million. I can't fault them for going to Washington. Now, as far as what you do next if you're Brian Cashman, Jabba, who is the pitcher you would target? Is it Jay Happ? Is it Nathan Eovaldi? Is it Dallas Keuchel? Yankees got to get better in this starting rotation. Who would you go after?
I mean, you look at two of those three names, and they've been with them before. So it's kind of what you see. I mean, you look at seeing what Nathan did in the playoffs last year. I mean, holy cow, there's we didn't know. I mean, we knew this stuff was there. We've all seen it. We've all wondered why he's bounced here and there. We've seen stuff-wise. Has it translated? No. But to now see in the biggest stage and to see that young man step up the way he did and not complain and just go out and just grind and get after it, like, I think that holds some validity. And obviously Jay came over and pitched his tail off too. And then you got Dallas that, you know, he's done what he's done. He's got the Cy Youngs. He's got the Gold Gloves. He's got the pedigree. He's got the World Series. He knows how to win. It's kind of, which way do you want to go? Do you want to take the younger Eovaldi? Do you want to take Jay Happ with, you know, age and what he's done and to see what he did with the Yankees? Or, you know, you look at Eovaldi and what he did, and it's just kind of, you know, which avenue do you – I don't think you can go wrong with either of them. I mean, but if you ask me as a gut baseball guy to see what he did in the playoffs last year, I mean, I don't know why that number one guy can't be, you know, going after Nathan and to see, you know, how that translates. Because now he sees it within himself. He knows he's that good. And it's – stuff-wise, we knew it, but now mentality-wise, maybe that was the hurdle. And now you're going to come see him on a big stage with a big market team and understanding what it takes to be successful. I think that, for me, would be my number one target right now.
Joe, but there are two big names out there that a lot of people are going to link to the Yankees. You know how this goes. Bryce Harper's a free agent. Manny Machado's a free agent. The Yankees just lost the playoff series to the Boston Red Sox. So there are a lot of people calling my show, I'm sure, that are expecting a big splash. Now, I don't know if you would agree or disagree. The guy I'd go after, if I had to have one of the two on the team next year, I want Bryce Harper. That lefty bat at Yankee Stadium, play him out in the outfield. I mean, imagine what he'd do. And I got to be honest with you, Jabba. I look at the infield right now. They got Andujar. They're going to get Didi coming back, who's a stud. I love what he brings to the team. Glaber's at second base. I mean, I don't know exactly where Manny Machado would fit. So I ask you, you could have one of these guys in pinstripes next year. Harper, Machado, who's your choice?
Yeah, I'm taking Bryce. Just, I mean, look at the dynamics of the field. You know, obviously, you're going to lose Didi for a little bit, and you got to fill that void. But, you know, he brings so much to the table and at shortstop and at the plate. And I think Bryce could hit 75 homers playing there and just understanding what he needs to do and having those bats around him where he's going to see more pitches. They're not going to be able to nitpick. And I just think he brings – you know, a different dynamic. He brings an attitude. He brings a little bit of swagger that sometimes is needed. And, I mean, obviously, his stats speak for himself and what he's done. I think that's a guy you go after. He's, you know, plus arm in the outfield. Obviously, the things that he does. And like you said, to your point, where does Manny fit in? Where does, you know, how do you – is it – you're not going to sign a guy like that for half a season to kind of fill that void. I think Bryce is the guy you go after. And, you know, from hearing everything that's going on, there's, you know, 12 teams or so going to go out to Vegas and kind of pitch on what they do. He kind of can pick and choose what he wants to do. It's what's best for him and his family. And there's a lot of teams that obviously he can help. So it's kind of where he wants to go and what number. And that's a scary number to think about for all he's accomplished at the age that he's accomplished. And to see where he goes, it is going to be a fun offseason.
Jabba Chamberlain, many memories as a New York Yankee. Now he's killing it for MLB Network Radio. And Jabba, you had a fascinating career. I mean, you come up, you light the world on fire, dude. I mean, I remember, because I had the license, dude. That is when I started, like, going to, like, 40 Yankee games a year. I had the car, could go in 2007. I'm hop, skipping a jump at the stadium. And, dude, when you came up, man, you electrified New York. 2007, I remember you shutting down teams left and right. That awful loss to the Indians in the playoffs still eats at me. One of the worst nights on campus at Syracuse. Don't get me started. But then, you know, you start, you go back to the bullpen, you win a championship. When you think about your time here as a Yankee, what was your favorite memory? Like, is there one that really stands out?
Just the teammates. I mean, obviously, being a baseball fan, getting to interact with George was tremendous, and getting to introduce my family to him. And there's not one. I mean, it's just the history, walking into old Yankee Stadium and knowing that you're playing on a field with the greats, the guys that started tradition, and playing in a stadium that started so many things. And, you know, just being able to, I mean, I would stare at Thurman's locker every day, and it's just to know the history that goes on with this team. Obviously, 2009 was special, winning World Series. I got to have my son and my dad there. So as a baseball kid growing up, that's everything you want, and you got to have both of them. So that's a great one. But, I mean, just the relationships, the things it's taught me, being a better father, a better teammate, a better person. It's just there's so many things that New York teaches you. You got to grow up fast, and you've got to learn to handle it the right way. And I've had my ups and my downs. I've had my goods and my bads. But at the end of the day, I wore my heart on my sleeve, and I gave you everything I got. And I hope everybody understood that. And, you know, I never ran away from anything that happened, and I always faced it. If I sucked, I sucked. You know, I never tried to run. I know I sucked. There was times I was good, times I was bad, but I loved every second of it. It taught me a lot about being a person, being real, and understanding, you know, what life's about. There's so much more to it, and New York can definitely teach you that.
And Jabba, did you ever feel frustrated with the team? You know, you start as a reliever, they move you to the rotation, then it's back to the bullpen. I know you always dreamed of being a starter, and you show glimpses of being a great starter, but, man, you were so good out of that bullpen. I know that was, like, the hot debate, Jabba, back in, like, 07, 08. You'd be hanging out with the boys having a couple of beers, and it'd be like, all right, is Jabba a starter? Is he a reliever? Like,
right,
did you have people
right
in your ear, like, on both ends of the spectrum saying, hey, man, this is where your future is? No, that's where your future is. Like, that's got to be a really confusing time, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're just – I spent 2.5 months in the minor leagues, or 3 months or something like that. So to get to the big leagues that fast, I mean, I would have folded towels and gave them water bottles if they said I could got to the big leagues that fast. So at that point, I was just happy to be there trying to help. And, you know, obviously things happen. It is what it is. But you learn from it, and it's going to be a topic of conversation all the time. It is what it is. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to have a great career and do some really cool things and have some experiences that not a lot of people have had. And I take that and I look back and I'm like, man, there's not a lot of people kind of gone through this. Whether people think about it's good or bad, it taught me a lot about certain things. And baseball is a metaphor for life for me, and like just being patient and trying to make adjustments and learn all these things, and just trying to understand, you know, what the heck's going on and try to slow things down. You get frustrated. Everybody gets frustrated. I mean, I don't care whether you got 100 million or 300 million. There's times you get frustrated. It doesn't matter. It just comes to the point of sometimes you got to look yourself in the mirror and be like, well, I have to be better. And then that's what it comes down to. It's nothing that the team can do. It's where you've got to sit and say, you know what, how do I make this situation the best that I can do? And of course I was frustrated at times. It just, I mean, that's the way it is. But, you know, look back, I wouldn't change it. It's made me who I am today, and I've had great experiences, and it's taught me a lot.
Jeff, a final one. And I always found it very odd when you came back. I remember you facing Jeter in a Tiger uniform, and you had that beard going. And I remember you were so apologetic for throwing. Did you hit Jeter, or did you, like, buzz him? I forget what it was.
Oh, no, I was trying to come in. I mean, I've seen it enough. Like, if I don't throw in, he's going to get a single to right, and it's going to piss me off. And I'm like, I should have went in. This is what he's done for how many years? So I was just trying to get him off the plate, and of course I hit him. I've never felt so bad in my life. Like, Literally, I've never felt so bad. And then to top it off, to make it even worse, he went on the longest Ofer streak of his career after I hit him, and they blamed it on me.
I didn't hit him on purpose.
No, that's your boy.
Helped you win a championship. Yeah, of course, dude.
I told him. He knew. And I was just like, but at that point, like, it couldn't have been any worse. Like, all right, I'm going to come in. I'm going to get these guys out in a big situation. And yet, nah, let's top it off. Let me hit Derek so I can just put icing and sprinkles on this thing. So, but no, it was interesting. I got a good beer going right now. So
that's what I'm talking about, Jav. I'm jealous because mine definitely is not as full as yours. I'm working on it. It's the wintertime. I know it's cold here in New York, too.
No doubt.
But before we let you go, my man, you play with Verlander in Detroit. And that was around the time when a lot of people were wondering, all right, is it the end of Justin Verlander? Is this guy washed up? Is this guy finished? How surprised are you with the way he's dominated baseball the last 2 years? Did you see that coming?
I'm not surprised at all. I mean, you've seen the way he works. You've seen the things that you see it from afar, but then you get a chance to be a teammate of his, and you see the work that he puts in and the understanding of what this game is. It doesn't surprise me at all. He's consummate professional. He gets his work in, and, you know, it's just you mature, and I think he matured in more ways than one. He's a dad now, and, you know, that changes so many things and understanding of what is important now. And I think as he got older, he figured out, I mean, he's always been an unbelievable pitcher, but I think he even learned to pitch even more as he's gotten older and finally looked and said, hey, you know what, I can still throw 97 when I want to, but let's get this other stuff and figure it out. Like, you know, obviously he's an MVP and a Cy Young winner. I'm not telling you something you don't know, but I think there was just so many things that came into his life where it put everything really, really into perspective, and it just let him be the Justin Verlander that we all love to see.
Jav, appreciate a couple of minutes, man. This was fun. You got to come back on at some point during the baseball season. You keep up the good work. Kill it out in Nebraska. We'll chat soon, all right?
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Good stuff there from Jabba Chamberlain, the former Yankee, who had a very interesting Yankee career. Now giving you some good perspective on all the Yankee-Mets stuff. Good stuff there.